G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
You know, I don't want to go into this, but I really, it's come up in me a couple of times, and particularly with some of the things that Pete was sharing in his in the tithes and offerings. If you are living according to what you earn and according to your bank balance, you are missing out on the biggest part of what God has for you. You will never earn as much as what He desires to give you. Hey. Decisions that Joy and I make are never based on what we earn or what's in our bank account. Decisions we make is whatever God's showing us to do. Hey, and there's many, many times we've made decisions and it looked ludicrous. It looked crazy that we could do it, you know. And yet the money is always there. Hey, the money is the smallest part. It's the attitude of your heart that's really important. Anyway, so I just share that. Are you ready to receive from the Word? Oh, I got a good one this morning. So have a look at Habakkuk. Chapter 2, there's a few scriptures we're going to start with. There's four scriptures, Habakkuk chapter 2 and Romans chapter 1. But let's start with Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Give me an oi when you're there. So this is part 2 of my series on faith for healing. I'll recap a little bit of what we did last week, but first I just want to start with these scriptures and talk about a little bit about the significance of faith for healing. Hey, 2 verse 4, it says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." How shall the just live?
By their faith.
Who shall live by faith? The just. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Give me an oi when you're there. "For in it the righteousness of God," he's talking about the gospel, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written," and it quotes the scripture we just came from, Habakkuk, "as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How shall the just live? Who shall live by faith? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Give me an oi when you're there. "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident." And again, he's quoting Habakkuk chapter 2. "For the just shall live by faith." Who shall live by faith? How shall the just live? Isn't that interesting? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Give me an oi when you're there. All right. Hebrews 10, 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So again, who shall live by faith?
The just.
And how shall the just live?
By faith.
Does God ever waste his words? If he says something, it's settled for all eternity. Is that right? How much more significant is it when four times we find the same phrase? I wonder if he's trying to tell us something. And we better sit up and pay attention. Is faith significant in the kingdom of God? It is. I believe it was the Holy Spirit that showed me, but I've heard others say it, but I can't remember hearing. Maybe I did hear it from someone and I adopted it. But as far as I know, the Holy Spirit spoke it to me, and it could be the same Holy Spirit that spoke it to them. But this phrase, faith is the currency of heaven. Transactions in heaven occur by faith. Nothing in heaven's economy works without faith. You think about it. How do you get saved? It's by faith. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you become a child of God? By faith. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, to those who believe in his name. How do you get right with God? By faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been made right by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you walk right before God? By faith. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 says, therefore we know that a man is not made right by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. How do you receive healing? It's by faith. Remember when Peter and John healed the man at the gate? And they spoke to the multitudes and they said, it's his name, through faith in his name, that made this man strong. How do the righteous live? By faith. We just read it. The just shall live by faith. What activates God's protective power? It's faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, you are kept by the power of God through faith. How do we grow in holiness? It's by faith. Acts chapter 26, God was speaking to Paul and he says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are made holy by faith in me. How do you get holy? It's by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Yes. Is faith significant for healing? Oh, you better believe it. Faith is highly significant in all the things that, you know, that God desires to give us. The vision that Andrew had of the warehouses. Unless he chooses to believe that and then begin to act as God shows him to act, that'll never come to pass. And same with the dreams and the promises God's made you. Unless you choose to believe it, it'll not come to pass, hey? Oh, but I've heard, you know, and that's why Paul himself, you know, he said things like, I've kept the faith. And he exhorts us to fight the good fight of faith, because faith is so significant in the kingdom. But I've heard people say things like, yeah, but Pastor Les, not everybody gets healed by faith. Surely not. Is every case of healing in the Bible, did it require faith? No, not every case required faith from the receiver, but in every case, faith was active. My tablet's playing up. Just give me a sec. If the receiver wasn't using their faith, then the minister was using their faith. Someone's using their faith. No one gets anything from God without faith. Hey. Now you can get healed without exercising any faith on your part, but that's a gamble. That's the gifts of healing. And God set that up more for the non-Christian than for the Christian. It's designed really to stir up the faith of people. That's why Smith Wigglesworth would come into a meeting and he would just heal someone through the gifts of healing. He knew that God would do that, but he would only heal one person. And when they would get healed, suddenly the expectancy of the whole congregation was, and then he would preach the word. Even Keith Moore, he refuses to pray for anyone unless they've heard something of the word. Because it's faith comes from hearing the word. It primes you. And so you need to understand, yeah, I mean, theoretically, you don't need faith to receive healing, but you're really gambling. And I mean, you think about it, you know, like God's greatest desire for you is to have all that he has planned for you, and you can only get it if you activate your faith. And I'll prove it to you. I mean, think about the ministry of Jesus. We looked at it last week. The majority of people that came to Jesus for healing received it how? By faith. Remember the centurion servant? He said, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. The two blind men, he said, according to your faith be it done to you. The Syrophoenician woman, he said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. The nobleman believed what Jesus said, and he went back and found his son was fine. And so there's so many, and I went through that last week, so I don't want to go through that. So what I'm trying to establish here is faith is significant for healing. What's the one thing you need, and if you don't have it, it's impossible to please God? Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So yeah, in theory, you don't need faith in order to receive. But you're in a place where you can't please God if you've got no faith. Every one of us has got a measure of faith. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And we exercise that. I'm trying to exhort you here to say, don't get into a place where your faith is just dormant and inactive. You can't, you know, that's not God's desire for you and I. He wants us to walk by faith and receive everything that he has. I heard Kenneth say that he is determined. I can't do it the way he does it, but he just has this grit in his teeth and this gleam in his eye. And he says he is determined to get everything. If in heaven there's a table and it's labeled Kenneth Copeland stuff, he said he's determined to get everything off that table here onto the earth. And we need to be the same. Is that right? You can't do it without faith, hey? Faith is so integral, hey? And I want to continue on and talk about faith for healing. I'll get to the main thrust of my message, but I do, something God put on my heart during the week as I was preparing this, I want to talk about, you know, and it's to do with healing. How do you handle alarming symptoms? What do you do when things are happening in your body that shouldn't be happening? Pain somewhere. Something's going wrong. You feel your heart beating and it feels like it's beating erratically, or just something is happening and it's really like it, you, all of a sudden just these thoughts and things are going through your mind. What do you do? How do you handle that? It's really important for us to know what to do. Now, the best example and the best teacher of that is Jesus. Is that right? And I'm thinking about the example of Jairus when he got news that his daughter was dead. I think potentially there's probably not many things that would be more alarming than something like that. To receive that, man, it's too late. It's gone. I'm sure there must have been fear and dismay and dread just overwhelming him. And what did Jesus say? How do you handle alarming symptoms? He told him two things. He said, don't be afraid, only believe. How do we handle alarming symptoms? The first thing is refuse to panic. Don't be afraid. And that's so important. I looked up the word panic in the dictionary and it says, it is a state of or feeling of extreme fear that makes someone unable to act or to think normally. And usually it leads to flight, to run away. A state or a feeling of extreme fear stops you from acting or thinking normally and usually ends up where you've just run away, hey? The devil wants to keep us in a place where potentially we are fearful or panicking, hey? He wants to keep us in the place of reasoning. Suddenly you get this symptom in your body. What's happening? He wants us to focus on that. Well, what is that? That's a tumor. You're gone. Speculating. What could it be? What could it possibly be? Oh, I wonder if that thing that doctor told me is happening. You know, your words have a huge part to play in your destiny. I was working with a guy one time in a factory and we were chatting away. He was an old guy. And he was telling me a little bit about his life story as we're just working alongside one another. We're just on a process line. You know, he said, my body's not like it used to be. He said, when I was a young man, I was fit and healthy. He said, I went and got a checkup and my doctor said everything was fine, and he said I can see there's some precursors. He said, I'm picking up some readings and these are precursors of problems in your body. He said, by the time you turn 30, your back is going to hurt and it won't stop hurting. And he was about 18 years of age and he was telling everyone about it. He didn't understand about the power of your words. He didn't understand about how faith is activated. I mean, fear is an inversion of faith. You choose to believe a negative report, that's fear, but you're putting faith in that report. He'd say, oh man, you know, the doctor said by the time I turn 30, he said, it's all, my back's just going to be in, I'm just going to be in constant pain. And he looked at me and he said, do you know what happened? He said, the day I turned 30. He was prophesying over his life for a dozen years and he didn't even realize it, hey? What do you do when alarming symptoms come on your body or they're manifesting? The first thing you do is you refuse to panic. As Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. But the enemy wants to keep you in that place of reasoning. He wants you to picture that problem and seeing that problem get worse and worse. It's going to get drastic. It's going to, you think it's bad now. Wait till what happens later in the day, tomorrow. Seeing yourself on a stretcher, being wheeled into the emergency room, or seeing yourself in a hospital with drips in your arm. May even use something the doctor has said to you to echo in your mind. That ligament will never ever heal. Never heal, never heal, never heal. The spinal cord's been damaged. It can't be repaired, can't be repaired, can't be repaired, can't be repaired. And then you think, I wonder if ducks, you know, they reckon the quack doesn't echo. Echo, quack, quack. Anyway, I'm just trying to get at, the devil wants to keep you in the place of reasoning. Hey, you have to stop that. You got to stop that. Stop picturing the negative result. Stay out of the place of reasoning. If you stay in the place of reasoning, you will be beaten every time. I don't care how smart you are, how many scriptures you know, if you stay in the place of reasoning, the devil will beat you every time because he's been doing this for thousands of years. He has it worked out to a fine art. If you stay in reasoning, come on. These are the sort of things, come on, you know, you can't really expect you're going to get healed. Do you know anyone who's got healed of that? Come on. How often do you hear about these cases? No, you're going to go to hospital and you're going to die, hey? And he tries to get you. Stay in the reasoning. Stay in the reasoning. You've been praying for this for ages. Nothing's happened. See? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? But if we keep in the arena of faith, we will beat him every time.
Amen.
How do we get in the arena of faith? Well, the first thing, stop the panic. Stop the fear. And then secondly, stir up your faith. Find the promises of God. Has God given you a promise? If he hasn't, find something. Find something that combats that fear and that panic and begin to give that your attention. Allow that to build a picture in your mind. Hey, and stay in that place. Hey, doesn't matter how you're feeling. Listen, fear is not a feeling, but it'll bring a feeling. Fear is a spiritual force that works in your flesh. And it's not feeling scared. You can feel scared but still resist fear, hey? There's been lots of times that I've just been scared. I mean, some things that God's told us to do and situations that we've been in, and it just looked scary. Felt like my knees were going to hold me. But see, that's not fear. Fear is if I begin to act on that and say, oh man, you know, and I start falling into the fetal position and sucking my thumb or get into bed and put the blankets over me, you know, or get a face washer and dip it in cold water and put it on my head and just lie there. That's acting on fear. Get in the arena of faith by first you refuse to fear. You doesn't matter what you're feeling. You just say, I will not. And you speak it out. I refuse to fear. I refuse it. God, you've given me this promise. And speak out the promise. Look it up if you need to. And then begin to picture what that looks like as it comes to pass in your life. Hey, build that picture and you're coming into the arena of faith as you do that. See, you're coming out of reason because there's no reason you have to build that picture. All your reason is telling you, hey, mate, I don't know what you've been smoking or drinking, but this picture doesn't reflect reality. But when you give you that picture of the promise of God, your attention, you're going into the arena of faith. Hey, and then your faith becomes the evidence of the things you don't see. Hey, it becomes the assurance of the things that you're hoping for. So Jesus said, if you've got alarming symptoms, like Jairus, he said, firstly, don't be afraid. And then secondly, only believe. Isn't it funny he said, only believe? He didn't say, Jairus, crack up the believer engine. Get it working. Put all the fuel you can, man. We are going to need this to go at 8,000 revs at least for us to get over this hill. He just said to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's not easy to believe when your body is crying out in pain. That's not easy. It's not easy to stand when there's things that are going on that are highly unusual. That's not easy, but it's simple. And you can do it. And he said to Jairus, only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. You know, this shows, it demonstrates two things. Number one, faith is a choice. Jairus had to choose to believe. And number two, you don't need any evidence to believe. Jairus didn't turn to Jesus and say, what do you mean only believe? I just got news. My daughter's dead. Have you got anything, any evidence to show me otherwise? He didn't say that. He didn't need any evidence. Faith does not require evidence, hey? Your faith becomes the evidence. So anyway, just you can think about that, but handling a lot, you know, it happens to all of us in different ways. You know, it can be like Tim with his knee. He refused to fear and began to act on the word, hey, stirring up his faith and choosing to believe. So it can happen with knees. It can happen with any part of our body, hey? And so we need to be aware of that. Amen?
Amen.
So now last week we talked about how faith is being fully persuaded what God said is true. We also saw that there are different types of faith and that faith doesn't make God heal you. Faith is not manipulating God like, now, I believe you've got to do this now. No, God wants to do it. If God didn't want to do anything, he wouldn't do it. You and I aren't big enough or smart enough to think that we can somehow manipulate the circumstances and make God do what we want, right? But God wants to. He wants to heal you and I. Is that right?
Yeah.
Faith requires action. I think last week I said faith is an action. Really, it's faith requires an action. Faith, and in theory, you don't need to act. But if you believe, you will act. So faith's not an action, but it does require action, hey? James said it, you know, faith without works is dead, all right? Faith is an action, but you don't do things in order to try to earn your healing, hey? You need to act on what you believe, but you don't try to earn it. You can't say, well, hey, God, I've been confessing this scripture for 7.5 months now. Where's my healing? Something's wrong, but it's not God. And when you realize, hey, you've given everything, and when all my actions do is just appropriate what you've already given and cause it to manifest, and keeping yourself reminded of that. So anyway, we looked at that last week, so I don't want to go into it, but just to bring your attention to it. And so if that's the case, if we can't earn healing, we've got nothing to boast about. And it takes the pressure off. We can just rest because it's up to God, and God has already done it, so we can rest in what he's already provided in order to be able to receive our healing. And the other thing that we talked about is that faith takes what God makes. You can't use faith to make God do anything, but faith just takes something that God's already made. Hey, he's already given all the healing. He's made it and he's given it and provided it, and faith just takes it. Same with the finances. Same with whatever you need. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read this chapter, and then we're going to go on, particularly with the focus for today. So Joshua chapter 6. Give me an oi when you're there. From verse 1, it says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can follow it in yours. It says, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. Anybody ever heard a ram's horn? A ram's horn. Oh, look it up on YouTube, the Shonar, you know, like, not now, but in your own time. It is awesome to, you know, it'll really help you visualize what was happening as the children of Israel were walking around Jericho and the priests were blowing the Shonar, the ram's horn. Verse 5, it says, when you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can, and then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and he said, take up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. And he gave orders to the people, march around the town and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns and some behind the ark, the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the ram's horn marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. I want you to know, you can look this up in your own time, but in Joshua chapter, keep your place there because we're going to keep reading in just a moment, but I want you to understand what is going on as they're doing this. Like, these people in Jericho had heard of this massive group of people, 2 to 3 million, who had miraculously walked across the Red Sea as if on dry ground. You could read this for yourself in Joshua chapter 2, one of the Jericho's citizens, Rahab, was telling 2 of the spies, saying, man, we heard about you guys. We've heard about it for years. And we have been dreading you coming here. And that dread had grown and grown because then they'd heard about how they just mowed down kings and nations in their path as they moved towards Canaan. And now here they are. For years, these inhabitants of Jericho had heard this nation of Israel is coming, and they're coming here. And now here they are. Can you imagine 2 to 3 million people outside your town? They'd shut the gates, and they're thinking, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And they just get up, and they begin to walk silently around the town. 3 million people walking around your town. They got an army bigger than all, more than all of the citizens of your town made up. But all of them walking silent. And the only thing you can hear is this Shonar that's being sounded all the way as they walk around. This that echoes right through the valleys. What are they doing? They're walking, but yeah, but they're up to something. Hey, watch them, watch them. Nothing happens. They just go back to their camp. They're up at night watching. Next day, early in the morning, again, the Israelites get up. And they walk around, the same thing, no one utters a word, just this ram's horn that's reverberating throughout the region. What is going on? What are these people doing? Why don't they just attack us? Come on! Probably growing impatient, some of them probably tired, fatigued from waiting, staying up all day, all night, 3 days, 4 days, it's just going on. And they know what's happened to other nations. They know these guys have just obliterated anyone in their path. It goes on, verse 15. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and they marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats and donkeys. What an awesome sight that must have been. Can you imagine? We're going to meet some of those people in heaven. What was that like to march around? What was that like to walk over? I'm going to come back to this story in just a minute. The title of my message today, and this is part two of the Faith for Healing, is I want to talk about the resonant frequency of the curse. I want to explain a bit about resonant frequencies first. You know, a resonant frequency is a movement or a vibration that's caused by a force. Resonant frequency can often, it'll cause a movement which will cause some sort of swing or an oscillation back and forward, side to side, round and round, or an intense vibration. Hey, and there's lots of examples about it. I'm going to get Andrew to put up a video of someone on a swing, if you just get that ready. You know, a swing is a great example. If you push someone on a swing, that thing is oscillating, swinging, side to side or back and forward. And you can, if you time your push with just a little bit of effort, you can actually make that person swing bigger and bigger. It doesn't take a lot. If you mistime it, if you're pushing when they're coming at you, you're just going to struggle and not get there. But if they're coming up and the swing's up there, and then just as it's going down, you just give it a gentle push, you'll find they'll keep that same oscillation or it'll get bigger and bigger. Thanks, Andrew. Just play that. This is just a simple example of people on a swing. Just turn that sound down. Andrew? Sound? Yep. So you can see the guy, he's just pushing him. And just with a little bit of effort, he's allowed the person on the right hand side is just going much, much higher than the person on the left. The guy, what he doesn't understand is the science behind it is he's found the resonant frequency. And he's just helping it at the same resonant frequency, and it keeps that swing at its maximum. When you find a resonant frequency, you can actually add to it and make it bigger and bigger. In fact, if you stay on the resonant frequency of something, you'll not only cause it to oscillate more and more, you can actually cause something to be destroyed. And we've got another example of that. If you go, here's an example of sound being applied to glass. Now you'll see the glass begin to wobble. It's just from sound. This is not special effects. This is actually happening in real time. And then eventually it gets vibrates quicker and quicker until eventually it shatters. That's resonant frequency. Resonant frequency is a vibration or a movement that's caused by a force. And that movement can actually destroy things, hey, like as in the glass. There's actually another case that, don't play it yet, but I'll just tell you a little bit about it. Every person that studies engineering, particularly civil engineering or structural engineering, has to do this. Well, certainly I remember even I studied chemical engineering at university, and this was required reading for us to study. This was a classic case study of a bridge. It was called the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. It was the third largest suspension bridge at the time it was made in the world. It was nearly like 2 kilometres long. It was 12 metres wide. Thanks, Andrew. We'll just play it. And there came a day where there was a 66-kilometre-an-hour wind. Unfortunately, at 66 kilometres an hour, that was the resonant frequency of the bridge. And so the bridge began to wobble. And you'll see that in just a moment. There's the opening day of the bridge. So it was a slightly windy day. And then the bridge just begins to twist and collapse, hey? We're talking about steel and concrete and tar. We're talking about bitumen on there. And it just looks like it's a ribbon or something or a piece of rubber. Somebody actually was driving across that bridge and it just... The wind was constantly at 66 kilometres an hour, and that just happened to be the resonant frequency of the bridge. And so it just kept increasing, just like a swing. If you keep pushing it, the swing just increases. There was a dog that actually died in this, eh? It was fearful. There was a structural engineer professor that went to try to rescue the dog, but the dog refused to come out of the car. And so you see the guy, he's trying to walk off the bridge. Comes back. He's not drunk. And then eventually it just continued to increase and increase in the strain that was on the metal was so great that the bridge completely collapsed, hey? This video is a lot longer than I thought. There it is. All right, we can stop the video. Thanks, Andrew. What's the point that I'm making? I wanted to explain some things about resonant frequency because we're going to talk about the resonant frequency of the curse. When you apply resonant frequency to an object, you can cause it to vibrate at such an intensity that it'll actually destroy itself. You know, they can remove kidney stones without ever carrying out any sort of invasive procedures. And it's just through what we're talking about. They find the resonant frequency of the kidney stone and they project ultrasound waves, and it dissolves. This solid thing just dissolves. It falls apart and it dissolves, and then it can be passed out. Just by tuning in ultrasound waves to the resonant frequency of the kidney stones, they can just demolish the thing without ever touching it, hey? So what's the resonant frequency of the curse? If resonant frequency is a vibration or a movement caused by a force, then the resonant frequency of the curse is a vibration or a movement that's caused by force, and it will eradicate or destroy anything in your life that's not of God. That's the resonant frequency of the curse. The force that causes the vibration is your faith. When you activate your faith, you are activating a resonant frequency to dissolve or demolish whatever it is. And we're talking particularly about sickness. If there's a disease, if there's something that's in your body that shouldn't be there, you're releasing resonant frequency to begin to demolish that thing. And that's what we see happening with Jericho's walls. You know, the walls of Jericho were so thick, they were just as thick as they were high. So even if somehow you could push it over, it'd still be a wall. It was like wide enough that you could have had double lane highways in between. It was a dual layered wall. That was something like 30 meters high. It was almost impregnable. No one was ever successful in being able to successfully scale those walls. And the city itself was only small. It was only 7 acres enclosed in the wall. Hey, a lot of people actually built their houses. The city got so overpopulated, they built their houses in between that dual layer of wall. And so Rahab too, she built her house in the northern part. And Kathleen Kenyon, she's an archaeologist, she headed up a team in the 1950s to excavate the site of Jericho, and she found that the wall of the city had collapsed completely except for the portion of the northern wall where Rahab's house was, hey? There was another guy, David Van Covering, a physicist, world-renowned. He's got a lot of inventions too, Andrew. 600 inventions. He's made millionaires out of investors. Man of God. He said, and I'm quoting from him, he said when he looked at the rubble from Jericho's walls, he said, Jericho's rubble had little or no support lattice at the subatomic level. What does that mean? What that means is you could pick up a portion of the wall and it looks solid, but when you picked it up, it would actually melt in your arm. It just turned into dust. It had the form, but it had no more support at the subatomic level. So it just fell apart, just like dust. When Joshua was commanded by God to tell the people to shout and they blew those ram's horn, there was a resonant frequency because of their faith and obedience that was released that caused those walls to be destroyed at the subatomic level. So the whole thing just collapsed. It couldn't stand on its own anymore and the people just marched. Garstang, who was another archaeologist, he was astonished that the wall was flat. It was flat when he excavated and he found it. He said, it's just flat. Faith is released through sound. Every time you see Jesus release his faith, it's released through the sound of his words. And he modeled that for us. And when we release faith with the sound of our words, we are not only physically releasing something, but we're releasing a force that will find the resonant frequency of that thing that is in your way. That problem that's in your life, hey. And whatever is obstructing you will just suddenly just melt away. Isn't that what the Lord said? The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, hey. I had an ex-student caught up. He graduated years ago. He graduated probably, I think, 2001 or 2002. And I ran into him a number of years later. I think it was about 2008 or 2009. I saw him. I said, Nick, you know, and he came up and we had a good chat because I had a lot to do with him and stuff like that. And I said, what are you doing with yourself nowadays? He goes, I'm in the army. I said, man, that's awesome. And I said, what's your role? He said, I'm in the artillery regiment. He said, tomorrow I'm being shipped to Darwin. He said, that's where we're going to be stationed and stuff. And I said, man, artillery. I said, you're firing some big guns. He goes, you better believe it. And he was telling me about some of the cannons that they had. And one particular cannon that they had was so powerful that soldiers were not allowed to fire it more than 3 times in 15 minutes. And after those 3 times, they had to go and take a half an hour break. Because otherwise the ears would begin to bleed. Because this thing had such a reverberation. The sound was so powerful. Now the army had done what it could to try to deaden that. And he was telling me about it. And I said, so what, you got earplugs or something? And he said, no. He said, it doesn't work. He said, I wrote it down. He said, they gave them earphones that had a technology called active noise reduction. And what it does is the earphones, they have built into them a microphone that picks up the ambient sound. And they're designed in such a way to pick up certain sounds. And what it does is it'll actually, as it picks up the sound, it'll play the inversion of the sound, the opposite of the sound. So what happens is when they hear the blast of the cannon, the microphone picks that up and at the same moment plays the exact opposite of that sound wave. And the effect is that the soldiers don't hear anything. They don't hear the cannon blast, but they still can't fire more than 3 times because their ears will still bleed out because of the force of this thing and stuff. What are they doing? They're understanding what frequencies are and what frequencies they need to apply to turn this thing around. Do you remember when Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat and they were crossing? And they hit a mega storm, and the disciples were in fear of their lives, and they woke Jesus and they said, don't you care that we're drowning? And he got up, and what did he do? He spoke, yeah, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he spoke to them, and he said, peace, be still. He actually, by faith, he released the resonant frequency of the wind and the waves. And it was the exact inversion of what was occurring in the natural. So the net effect was nothing. Everything went absolutely still. When you begin to speak in line with the things that God has shown you and is talking to you about, you are releasing the force of faith, which will create the resonant frequency of the curse that's trying to attach itself to your life. And it'll be the very opposite of the thing that causes that thing to be solid and growing or to be immovable. It'll be the very thing, the opposite of that, and it'll cause it to be destabilized at the very atomic level or the subatomic level. And cause it to drown, dissolve, be gone. You know, and this is such an exciting thing. I remember when, you know, like when Joy wasn't well and we knew that she wasn't well and she felt like she was getting sicker and sicker. But she was speaking in line. God had given her promises and she was speaking over herself, these promises that God had given her. And there came this one night where she just felt like, man, I can't see anything is happening. And she sat up in bed. She said, Lord, is my faith doing anything? And wasn't straight away, but a little bit later, a couple of hours later, the Lord spoke to her and said, your faith has stopped this cancer from spreading, and he named different organs. And you guys are familiar with the story. One of the things, you know, like the Lord said to her is that your faith has stopped this cancer from being in your bowels. And then when we got to the hospital, the surgeon said, man, she had bowel cancer, but it's just gone. And like, I was looking at him like, what are you trying to tell me? And he said, exactly that. He said, I can't explain it. He said, it was there. He said, the evidence that we've got from all our testing is it was there, but it's gone. What happened? She released the force of faith, which created that vibration, which was the resonant frequency of bowel cancer. And she didn't feel any different because there was another cancer in her ovaries that was attached there because of fear. She didn't fear bowel cancer, but she had a fear of ovaries. You know, fear works in weird ways, doesn't it? Hey. You know, there could be things in your life that right now you're believing God to have moved. And instead of vacillating up and down and saying, man, I don't know if anything's going to, stay with it. Stay with it. Because every time you speak in line with what God is saying to you, you're releasing that force of faith. And that resonant frequency is working. And Jericho appeared to look like nothing had happened. But before their very eyes, it just melted away and fell flat. And those things in your life that just seemed immovable, just suddenly one day you'll just go, man, I can't remember the last time I had that symptom. I can't remember, when did I, what did, and you'll have to try to backtrack somehow to work out when it actually occurred, hey. Keith Moore shared a story when we were away, we were watching some of Keith Moore, and he shared the story of about a guy who actually, he couldn't breathe. Both his lungs were just shot. He had cancer in both lungs. And there's nothing that the doctors could do. They could only give him painkillers. There's nothing more they could do. So pretty much he was just waiting to die. But the hospital wasn't very far from Rhema Training Centre, Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And Keith Moore at that stage was running the healing school. And so this couple had heard of it. They were Bible believing, and they just thought, well, there's no other answer, so we may as well just go, you know. And so he said to his wife, take me to the healing school. And so they went to the healing school and they walked in. Keith was part way, he was already started the session. And these are people from just all over the state and the countryside who would come, who had just life-threatening illnesses. And they would just listen to the word and build their faith. And so this guy came in. And he couldn't sit. He was just in too much pain. And he was just standing. He was holding onto the seat in front of him. And he was bowed down like that. And his breathing was labored. It was like, and everybody, it's like, it wasn't discreet at all. Everybody in the class is just distracted. It was so labored that even Keith was kind of thinking like, is he going to make it to the end of the session? That people are like, trying to take notes, and then they sort of turn around because this guy's going, you know, and he's just doing this. And Keith is just preaching the word. He's preaching the word. He's preaching the word. There's an important thing in that. Hey, don't ever get distracted by things around you. Hey, particularly when you're giving attention to the word. The devil will try to get your attention away. Suddenly there's a phone call, text message, something you remember you've got to do. And then it's just like, it's gone. Keith just kept preaching. He just kept preaching. This guy is leaning over and he's struggling to breathe. And after about 15 minutes, Keith noticed that his breathing was settling down. It wasn't as labored. And he looked up and the guy was actually standing up. You could still hear him breathe, but it wasn't labored like that. He was just going, Darth Vader, look. Anyway, Keith kept just preaching. Soon this guy was sitting down and no one could hear him breathing. He was just sitting and just listening. Keith just kept ministering the word of faith, ministering, getting people to meditate about healing, getting them to think about what God has to say about it. And this guy's just sitting there. And soon this guy's got a smile on his face. And he's just sitting there and he's just enjoying just the ministry. Anyway, I came to the end of the class and everybody files out. And this guy's just sitting there, just smiling in his seat. And he's rubbing his chest and he's just smiling. And Keith comes up to him. And the guy goes, man, my chest feels so good. There's no more pain. He goes, I can just breathe. He goes, it doesn't even hurt. And he turns to his wife, he goes, I'm hungry. Are you hungry? And his wife bursts out crying because he hasn't eaten a solid meal in months. Just couldn't keep anything down. He said to his wife, I'm starving. Can we go and get something to eat? She goes, yes, let's go. They go across the road. There's a Mexican diner there. He eats two full Mexican dinners. Comes back to thank Keith. He goes, it's amazing. He goes, no more pain. He said, it doesn't hurt. He goes, I can breathe normally. It's all gone. What happened? Keith was preaching the word. This man heard the word. And that faith that ignited suddenly released the resonant frequency of that cancer that was attacking his lungs. And as he just continued to hear and to hear, that thing just did its job, hey? And that thing that no doctor on earth had any cure for or could do anything for him suddenly was a non-issue anymore, hey? Your faith is working. Hey, turn around to the person next to you and say, your faith is working. If you're a believer, then you have a measure of faith, hey? And if you're using it against sickness and disease, then it is releasing that resonant frequency to remove and eradicate and destroy that thing in your life, hey? And you need to encourage yourself and say, no, I'm staying the course. This thing's working. This thing's working. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. It's working. It's working. Do I hear an amen? Amen? Come on, we're going to put it to action. Let's stand up. We're going to activate our faith for healing, and we're going to release that resonant frequency to operate in any area in our body that's not in line with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to repeat after me. We're going to speak over portions of our body, hey? And I want you to believe and expect that your words carry power because they do. You're a believer. So I want you to speak. Say, body, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you and I declare you are free of all infirmity. Of all sickness, of all disease, of all pain, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Now repeat after me. Say, brain, in the name of Jesus, be whole, be well, be free of any inhibition, be free of anything that would stop you from working the way you were created to work. Brain, you are sharp. You're clear. I think clearly. I have excellent memory recall. I command any tumors in my brain or in any other part of my body to be dissolved now in Jesus' name. Now give him thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're not done yet. Hallelujah. Let's move to our nose. I say, nose, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you and to all of the passages that connect the nose with the eyes, with the ears, with the throat, all of the sinus passages. In Jesus' name, be clear. You be free of all irritation. In Jesus' name. Nose, you operate the way you were designed to operate. Free of all infirmity and all disease. Clear. Able to breathe freely and easily. Now breathe in through your nose. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, as you breathe, you're activating your faith. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's work on our ears. Ears, in Jesus' name, you be unblocked. You be completely clear. Any excessive earwax, just be dissolved. I don't want to see you, but get out of my ears. In Jesus' name. Every part of my ear, the eardrums, the nerves, every other part, you work free of all problem in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. That's working. That's working in our body. The things we're saying are releasing the force of faith. Hallelujah. Eyes, in Jesus' name, I declare that you are blessed and free from the curse. You do not grow dim. You see completely clearly. You focus easily. You see the full spectrum of color as you were designed to see. Eyes, you're blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Throat, in Jesus' name, I release you from all infirmity, from all sickness, from all disease. You are free in Jesus' name. Every infirmity, every sickness, and every disease from this day forward will die, even in its attempt of attacking my throat. Throat, you're free. You're healthy. You're well. My voice is fine. My throat is clear. Hallelujah. I'm healthy and well and strong. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Back, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you are completely well. Every vertebrae, every disc is in complete alignment the way it should be. Now, in Jesus' name. Spinal cord, you're free of all pain. You're free of all problem. I have no problems in my back because my back is blessed and it's strong and it does its job exceptionally well from this day forward to the end of my life, till Jesus comes or till I go to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. Elangus kovora bishim bregedesi engi. Olangala kasi engi. Thank you, Lord God. Joints. Every joint. Shoulder joints. Elbow joints. Joints in the hip. Knee joints. Ankle joints. Any other joint that I haven't mentioned. In my body, I speak to you, and you be free of all sickness, of all pain, of all infirmity, in Jesus' name. Joints, you work free from pain as you were designed to work, free of all problems, right now and from this moment on, in Jesus' name. Just begin to thank Him and just lift your hands, wave them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's your faith in action. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, our words carry authority and power, Lord, and it's working in our bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lungs, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you are free of any curse and every curse in Jesus' name. Lungs, you are clear. You are brand new right now in Jesus' name. And I breathe freely and I breathe easily because I'm blessed and my lungs are blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just breathe in and out slowly. Full, long breath. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Ebragas kovora bashim vengiri kishi inglara tarakasia. Heart, in Jesus' name, I declare you will not miss a beat from this moment on. You will beat completely in sync as you were designed. You will not grow weary. You will not get tired. You are well, you are strong, you are blessed, you are free of all disease, free of all sickness, free of all infirmity. You'll beat as long as I want you to beat. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak to every other part of my body that I haven't yet mentioned. Any part of my body that has not been mentioned. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are free from the curse of the law. There is no sickness in you that can stay. There's no infirmity in you that can remain. And right now, all sickness, all infirmity, all disease in any other part of my body that has not been mentioned is dissolving and disappearing. And my entire body is free of the curse. In Jesus' name. Oh, give Him thanks and praise now. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we just got an overhaul this morning, didn't we? Hey, now expect those things. You know, I don't know where things were in your body, hey, but whatever it is, you know, if you get a symptom that's contrary to what we just say, you're gone. You don't belong there. And see your faith is causing that resonant frequency. That thing is dissolving, has no more structure. Hey, it's melting away. Amen?